Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Norwood. The issue is whether or not the district court abused its discretion in the sentence it rendered and whether the 293-month sentence imposed, which is outside the guidelines, is reasonable. Now, appellant acknowledges that in the post-Booker world, the sentencing guidelines are advisory and a sentencing court has the discretion to sentence outside those guidelines. However, as was stated in Gall versus the United States, the sentencing court must explain with sufficient justification the appropriateness of the harsh sentence. Further, the more the sentence varies from the sentencing guidelines, the more compelling the justification. That was stated in the U.S.
Any problem with explanation here? The district court said that your client's criminal record was as long as his arm, way over Category 6, and normally you expect a higher sentence if you've got a more serious criminal record.
Except, Your Honor, I acknowledge that's what the court said. However, they did not explain how they arrived at, number one, 293 months. Also, the court merely gave lip service to both the sentencing guidelines and the 3553A factors.
But we've never demanded that district judges explain in such detail as to allow us to understand why it was 293 months, not 292 or 291 or on down. The district court here explains that it's not very well impressed with the way your client has been using his life. And he says, this court is not sure that you're ever going to be able to adjust to the rules and laws of society. And I think we would be demanding much more of the district judges in the way of explanation than may even be humanly possible if we're asking for that level of precision.
Your Honor, if I may point out, in the United States versus Castro-Juarez, in that case, decided in 2005, the defendant pled guilty to being in the United States illegally after previously being convicted of a felony and being removed from the United States. And based on his prior record and two additional points for committing the offense while under an existing sentence, he had a Category 4 criminal history and an offense level of 10 with a range of 15 to 21. The sentencing court sentenced him to 48 months. And the court only gave as its explanation a recitation of the defendant's prior cases, his criminal history, and the impact of the defendant's crimes, which is very similar to what the district court did in the appellant's case. And the Court of Appeals stated that the court's explanation is not sufficiently compelling to uphold the court's exercise of discretion.
But, of course, that's a case before Booker, I think, as far as.
No, Your
Certainly
Honor,
before Gall. It's before the more recent guidance from the Supreme Court about how much discretion belongs in the district court to choose a reasonable sentence, and then the next stage, how this court then ought to regard the sentence chosen by the district court.
True. But also, Your Honor, in Gall, Judge Alito, in his dissent, stated, a district court must give the policy decisions that are embodied in the sentencing guidelines at least some significant weight.
Dissenting opinion in the Supreme Court and $3 will get you a cup of coffee.
I understand, Your Honor. But again, this was one of the justices, and there are findings of the case.
And the word dissent means he didn't persuade the majority.
I understand that, Your Honor. But I also, again, state that he had indicated that.
What about the Kimbrough case? Do you make anything? This
I'm
was
sorry,
a
Your
crack
Honor.
Sentence.
I'm sorry?
This is a crack sentence, right?
Yes, sir.
So are you going to move for a reduction of the.
He was sentenced under a. As a career criminal offender, so his sentence was out of that area to begin with, Your Honor. The sentencing range was 183. To 235 months.
I'm sorry, the crack was irrelevant or what?
In this case, the amount of quantity would have been irrelevant because he was under career criminal category.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Fries. Mr. Norwood.
And may it please the court, I think the record is clear and it's self-evident why Judge Gilbert sentenced this defendant to 293 months. This defendant has led nothing but a life of crime. He's a career offender twice over. He has three prior convictions for unlawful delivery of controlled substance and one for aggravated robbery. His pending cases show nothing but a constant disregard for the law, fleeing from officers, endangering civilians as he's fleeing through the streets of Mount Vernon.
What's a little surprising is how many of these accumulated while he was waiting for proceedings to finish on others. Do people keep putting him out on bond? Or?
All those cases were in the state court system in Jefferson County, Illinois. I'm not going to comment on the Jefferson County court system, but he did end up in federal court for a reason. And I think the reason is self-evident from the record. This defendant was a danger to that community, needed to be removed from the community. He was, and the sentence Judge Gilbert imposed was entirely reasonable based upon this defendant's specific history.
But how much of an explanation? I mean, after Gall, I think it is unclear how thoroughly judges need to explain, let's say, the degree of difference between the sentence they've chosen and the guidelines. The court says things in the Gall opinion, some of which suggest that a greater deviation needs more explanation. Other things seem to go in the other direction, that as long as the district court judge has chosen a reasonable sentence, there is no special weight to be given to a guideline sentence or a non-guideline sentence. What should we as a reviewing court look for from the district court judges, and is this enough?
Well, in this case, the government believes this is enough. As to what the court should look for, I'm not sure. I mean, that's...
This is fairly cursory, you would agree.
Well, when you say cursory, could the district judge always add more? Yes. But if something is as evident as the nose on your face, how much...
Well, how did he pick the number? How did he derive the number 293?
I'm not certain. If I remember my guidelines correctly, I believe if you look to category... criminal history category 6 and go up a couple of levels, that the low end is then 293. I'm going that off the top of my memory. I don't have a guideline in front of me, but I believe this defendant was at level 31 criminal history category 6, which is a range of 188 to 235, and I think if you go up a couple levels that the range is then 293 to
Well, if you go up two levels, the high end of the range is
293. That's correct. So I'm not going to speak for Judge Gilbert as to how he arrived at that number. I can only guess that he did some mental calculation like that. But the difficulty that Judge Wood explained, well, if Judge Gilbert went from 235 to 258 or from 235 to 272, is there a different amount of explanation required for each additional month that he gives? And I think the explanation that he gives needs to be looked at as a whole based upon the facts that were before him, based upon the attitude of the defendant that was before him, and determine whether or not the sentence is reasonable. And I think in this case it imminently.
Well, one thing he could do would be to look at other sentences. Look at the other. So this is what, 20... 24 years?
Yes, I think 24 years, 5 months maybe.
So he could look at some other 25-year sentences and see whether this is the sort of thing that people with this criminal record get.
Yes, Your Honor.
They might still decide that this recent spate of crimes deserves some special consideration. But you could imagine a somewhat more... elaborate discussion.
As I said, could a district court in each and every case elaborate more? Probably.
Very long sentence, after all.
It is a long sentence.
Let me ask you a different question. Is Mr. Fries correct that Kimbrough and the retroactive alteration in the crack guidelines have no impact here?
That is correct, Your Honor. In this case, because the defendant was a career offender, the guideline provisions of, I believe it's 4B1.1, kick in, and the sentencing range is based upon the advisory sentencing range is based upon the calculations in the United States, the sentencing guideline 4B1.1, because this defendant had
doesn't mention crack.
So the relevant conduct establishing a base offense level was lower than the career offender base offense level in 4B1.1, so that trumps the relevant conduct guidelines to calculate the base offense level. If there are no further questions, thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Freese?
I would just like to reiterate that I acknowledge and agree that a sentencing court doesn't have to sit there and give a whole
Were you his lawyer in the sentencing?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Were you his lawyer in the sentencing?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, what did you put forth to the judge to mitigate the sentence? Did you discuss the 3553A factors?
I submitted a sentencing memorandum arguing that my client had what I believe to be a learning disability. When he pled guilty, Judge Gilbert had to repeatedly explain everything in slow detail to him. I acknowledge that there was nothing in the record showing that he had a learning disability, but I know
What's the relevance of a learning disability to the length of a sentence?
I was asking for a reduced sentence.
What's the relationship between having a learning disability and the appropriate sentence?
In this case, as far as the 293?
What is the relationship between having a learning disability and the severity of
the sentence? I believe that the learning disability was just one of many factors which caused That's what I'm trying to explain.
Would you answer my question? What is the relationship, not between a learning disability and 42 other things, between a learning disability and the severity of the sentence? Why should it lead to a lower sentence?
Because I believe that was one of the basis.
I'm asking you, not one of many. Forget anything else. Why is a learning disability a factor that ought to lead to a lighter sentence?
Because he could not fully understand and comprehend everything that he was doing and the life that led him down.
Why doesn't that lead to a higher sentence? That's the district court's point. Your client is undeterrable. He cannot learn to comply with the criminal law. And undeterrable people need to be incapacitated. And therefore, the district judge said, it leads to a higher sentence. So why, in your view, should it lead to a lower sentence?
As I asked the court, and Judge Gilbert made notice that I did ask the court, not to throw his life away. I believe that just throwing somebody in prison for 20-some years
Did you present any of the kind of evidence I was asking the U.S. attorney about, that other people with his criminal background get lower sentences, typically? Or
no, I did not, Your Honor.
Did you have besides the learning disability for mitigation? Anything else?
His lack of education. He had not completed high school. His family background. His father is in prison for, if I remember correctly, drugs. His one brother is in prison for drugs. The young man, I felt, did not have any kind of a chance.
Well, don't you have to tie these things to factors in 3553A?
I mentioned all of those, Your Honor.
How do they tie in? So if you have relatives in prison, or you come from a family of criminals, what factor in 3553A do you tie that to show that your client should have a lighter sentence?
Basically the history and characteristic of the defendant, Your Honor. The fact that he had a hard way to go, that he was in need of extreme drug treatment programs, as opposed while in prison, but at the same time not give, sentence him to all time, which is basically what you're doing with a man that's just a little over 20 years old, 21, 22 years old. And I would just again like to point out that Judge Gilbert did not really give any explanation. He just merely stated that he looked at the 35, 53, every one of them, and when I look at the nature and characteristics of the offense, and you as an individual calls for a lengthy incarceration to protect the public. And that's in the hearing transcript, page 25. To me, that is not an explanation as to why 293 months should be given. The government did not ask for a sentence outside the guideline. They just asked for the top of the range of 235. And again, at no point, even in a sentencing memorandum, does the judge...
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The case will be taken under advisement. And, Mr. Freese, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment.
Thank you.